VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock, and I sound kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't think these mics are on.
Yeah, on? Okay. Apologize. We're having a couple little issues this morning with some of the sound, and I wonder if anybody can hear me.
He said it was good, so we're going to assume you all can.
Okay, well, I'm just going to keep talking.
Yep.
I told Alan before we signed on this morning that Adam had told me he might be a little bit late this morning because of some stuff he had to do with the kids or something, and he said, well, you're okay. You can do it, can't you? And I said, oh, yeah, the problem with me is never getting me talking. The problem with me is quite the opposite.
After 41 years, I can guarantee that is true.
Now, you didn't have to really agree quite that readily, but since you're right, you're right. Anyway, I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live. It is December the 2nd. And in the eyes of many people, present company excluded, it is a wonderful morning because of what happened in the Senate last night. I will be delving into that, as I have been for some time now, giving you my Clint Eastwood version of the whole thing. I sound much better to me anyway. The good, the bad, and the ugly behind this tax sausage making. And the good news is the majority of people are expected to benefit from the changes as the Senate did them. The bad news is it's still not a done deal, and then there's the 40% of us. But I'll get into that. We got plenty of time. On the bright side, remember a few months ago when I speculated earlier this year that the Dow would cross 24,000 this year?
I remember that.
No, you don't, because it was 23,000 I was speculating on.
Oh, you're right. You were reticent to yep. 24. That's right.
So here we are, sitting here looking at numbers like 24,000, and I think I'm as flabbergasted as anyone. I keep getting asked, well, is it going to crash? And we will go further into that today, too, because that's a real interesting analysis. After all, the best part of this whole tax thing is the original intent, which was to lower the corporate tax rate, and they actually look like they're going to compromise and do just that. So there's good news here and there. Anyway, welcome to the show, the regulars. We appreciate you being here and hope you can stick around for the whole time. And if you're new to the show, either because you found us or got told about us or whatever, stick around. We're going to hear a lot of interesting things. But as always, if you would like to change the conversation to a topic that you care about, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, 222-TALK. And we will immediately put callers to the top of the list, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. So, since we have so much good news in the market, I think we ought to just dive right into it.
Well, I can't. I have to say something first. December 2nd is a great day, but not for the reasons you mentioned. It is actually my 11th wedding anniversary today.
That it is.
So I have to say happy anniversary to my lovely wife, Jessica. Mm-hmm. All right. We made it.
That's a paltry sum of years.
Well, relatively.
I just passed 45 recently, so you got a ways to go yet. But you're off to a good start.
Yeah, better than a lot. So anyways, if you were getting tired of the same old market, just a slow, steady rise, maybe this week was for you, because this is not what happened this week, especially on Friday. Friday was an interesting day, to say the least. It started off really mild. Everything was basically flat, And then all of a sudden, in the late morning, some news came out about Mr. Flynn, and the market dropped like a rock. I think it was down over 300 on the Dow at one point.
It lost about 350 from peak to valley, I think.
Yeah, and then as some more news came out about the potential tax cut, cooler minds prevailed, it looked like, and we ended up down just over 40 points, so not a bad day, but a lot of volatility. We haven't seen that in a while, so it was a little bit scary for a little bit for a lot of people, but all in all, this market just doesn't look like it's going to be stopped on, well, at least it didn't get stopped this week. So
how many of you got panicked, cold feet, and about noon said, that's what I've been waiting for. Let's sell everything.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking maybe I should buy, but that's just me.
you had to be fast.
Yeah, the Dow actually went up about 2.9% this week. The S&P increased 1.5, and the NASDAQ actually dropped 0.6. And there was a lot of sector rotation this week, so we saw a lot of money move out of tech and look like energy and telecom and some of the other laggards were really the big gainers, the beneficiaries of that move.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah,
they've been sound asleep.
Well, oil, energy's had a pretty good run. But
thanks OPEC too. They extended their production cuts again, which satisfied the market at the level we are.
Had a note about the oil prices actually were down 38% at one point this year, and now are 9% up on the year. Mm-hmm. So that is quite a turnaround. And part of that was that OPEC colluded. I mean, agreed with Russia to cut production, and that's through the end of next year. So worldwide demand is still really high. So it paints a pretty good picture for the oil companies right now. It's been rough time.
They've had a lot of trouble, and they need to get their balance sheets back in good condition again. And it looks like that's going to happen.
Some other interesting rotation this week. We saw growth stocks get outpaced by value stocks for the first time since pretty much the Obama administration. Stocks with the majority of their revenue generated internationally had been the biggest gainers year to date, and that they actually were losers this week, and stocks that generate revenue in the U.S. were winners. So big turnaround there.
Yeah, and dividends came back into favor a little
bit. Right, value. So, yep. Yeah, it was good to see because we do a lot of value investing, so mm-hmm. I always like to see that. There was also a ton of economic data this week. There were 23 reports released. Overall, they showed a pretty solid economy with looks like it's gaining even more traction.
The GDP changed?
Yep. The GDP was actually the estimate was 3.2 for the revised estimate, and it actually came in at 3.3. And risk of sounding like a broken record, week after week, jobless claims came in below expectations, 238,000 versus 240,000. And then new home sales, which Angela and Howard probably could talk to you about, they came in at a pretty solid 685,000 versus 625,000 expected. But to put that in perspective, it is less than half of the pre-bubble peak, which exceeded 1.3 million. So if you think we're in another housing bubble, think again. It looks like home builders will benefit from that. And despite the great year for stocks, the Santa Claus rally is actually a real thing. December is historically one of the best months of the year for stocks. So if you're invested, really think twice about selling off right now unless we see some major warning signs. And that's all I got today.
Well, that was not quite all that wants to be said, though.
Okay.
And here's why. Because those unemployment claims, not seasonally adjusted, were actually only 224,200.
Mm-hmm.
The highest since I graduated from high school.
Wow.
1968.
Given 45 years of marriage, you can probably back into that number. It's a big one.
Do you know what the population was in 1968, given it's about 330 million today?
I do not.
201.
Wow.
40% less population was the last time that we had this few people laid off in this particular week.
That is truly amazing. And if this tax bill passes, I suspect we will see some new record lows.
I honestly don't think you're going to see any problem reconciling the two. The only problem I see is more or less personal, and that I think two bad bills are going to get together and create a worse one. We'll talk about that as soon as we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question today has to do with the Dow. It's brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And the question for today is, how many 1,000-point thresholds has the Dow Jones Industrial Average crossed since the election? A whole number. Good morning, Chuck.
I'll guess 7.
Oh, you are very close, but a little high. Nonetheless, a good guess. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm concerned about a sector rotation and a big sell-off the first week of January. I mean, I don't know if you caught Cramer when he said that a lot of the big fund managers really want to sell and lock in profits, but they can't because they'll miss out on the typical December rally. And so I know a lot of the fund managers are going to have to sell the first week of January. And typically there's a lot of rotation in the small caps in January. So what are you guys thinking?
That's all true.
Absolutely.
And I would never tell somebody, don't take a little profit off the table right after the first of the year and pocket it for a while. The other side of that coin is, should they get this tax bill reconciled in the houses and go to the floor again, have everybody pass the reconciliation on both sides, put it on Trump's desk, and have him sign it, we might avoid that completely. That is very speculative, given the sort of useless nature of our Congress. I do not trust them to tie their shoes, much less reconcile an important thing like this. So would I recommend it? Only thing I might do differently is, if your money's in an IRA and you don't care about the taxes, I might start lightening up 10%, 15% now.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what your long-term goals are for that specific money. And there are certain situations where that makes sense, and then there are long-term investors where they just wouldn't probably do you any good.
But I like your comment about small caps, because January historically is when they really get going, and with a tax cut coming, they'll really get going. So what I would do with that money, might sit on it over New Year's Eve, and then start getting back into the small caps a little bit. But major allocation changes, I don't see it.
There are some fund managers. I actually have a list here. It's like a bad boy list that was published by Cap Gains Valet of, it's called In the Doghouse 2017. Mm-hmm. It is mutual funds that are paying over 20% in capital gains. So it's just been that kind of year. Some funds got hit really hard with the capital gains. So there are some funds that have already, it's a done deal. They've already taken profit, and you're going to pay for it.
Okay. And what's your plan, Chuck?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I find it hard to believe we're going to have a year-end rally in December, which is typically one of the best months, given how far we've come so far. I mean, it's just beyond belief that we're over 24,000. It's
Just remember we said
I've
that.
I've never seen anything like it.
Remember when we said it at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, too. So yeah. The trend is your friend. Just stay nimble, I think.
Yeah, or you can always look at take it profits. Sounds like you're in mutual funds, but if you're in any kind of stocks, maybe set your losses a little bit tighter, your stop losses. There are ways to protect the downside. You could also invest in a short fund or something like that, where if it does go down, at least you won't feel the entire brunt of it. There are lots of strategies to avoid taking the total loss should that something like that happen.
Yeah, I will give you very little in my absolute opinion about things, but I'll give you this one. In my opinion, we are going to see an increase in volatility. I think this whole straight line glide path up to 24,000 that we've been taking is artificial. There should have been more volatility along the way. I think you'll start seeing that next year. Does that mean you got to react to it? No. You just got to make sure you can sleep at night. So I wish I could be more definitive.
No, what I was going to ask you is, my head is spinning from this week and last week learning about, and I still don't understand what blockchain and Bitcoin are.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, so am I. Strangely enough, at the bottom of the hour, Adam's doing a thing on Bitcoin.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah. And in a nutshell, for anybody listening, what we're talking about is a cryptocurrency, meaning it's not published by and guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the United States government.
Or any other body.
Or any other. Yeah, exactly right. And it's a very interesting and very hot topic right now.
You can't turn on a TV without hearing about it these days.
No. So but we're going to get way into that pretty soon. So you picked out a very good topic, and it's almost as if you had taken our cue in between sections of the show that, hey, let's talk about some Bitcoin. We appreciate the segue.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, good luck.
Thanks for the call. Hey,
call us and let us know how it works out. Yeah, that whole thing going up, you know, Chuck is exactly right. We went from wherever we were to 24,000 now in not very much time. Is it justifiable? Well, there are people out there still buying, so a lot of people think so. The thing that I like and the thing that Adam and I have been on throughout this earnings season, this is the first earnings season in a long, long time, wrapped up now, where the profits, the beat rate on the profits were quite okay.
I mean, yeah, not average.
Great, but they were on higher expectations. But what did happen was revenue growth. The companies are expanding. People are going to work. More people are buying things. Production levels are going up. In fact, if you look at the numbers in the economics of this week, you see an incredible uptick in construction.
Yeah.
And that was a biggie.
And the manufacturing index is still strongly in expansion territory.
Yep. And what happens when you start seeing that, it means that capacity utilization is getting up closer and closer to full. And they're expecting it to keep growing. So they're adding plant and equipment. And this is definitely a positive sign for everything out there. So, you know, I don't think anybody ought to panic. I think you better prepare for some more volatility. Any little piece of news can throw it one way or the other. But I say there's still upside in this market for potential.
The funny thing about this question is I think we've received this question around this time of year a couple times. And if you look back to last year, what happened? Absolutely nothing based on those set of events. But in, was it 2015?
15.
Yeah, 15, we saw the rate hike combined with the events we were just talking about. Man, we were in a death spiral in January.
6 weeks.
Yeah, it was ugly. And then mid-February, all of a sudden it turned around and it reversed very quickly.
Yeah, if you're thinking that pulling out might be a good idea, go back and look at the chart in 2015. You'll get your eyes opened how quickly it came back. So like I say, you got to stay nimble. But whatever you do, if you make a firm decision, execute it, see how it works out. Let us know.
We do have a rate hike coming up, too. That could play into it a little bit. But I feel like at this point, it's been so long coming that the market is already factored it in.
That's factored in kind of like the tax cut is factored in, I think.
Yeah.
Like, tease us a little bit on Bitcoin, and when we come back, we'll start talking about it. What is it, and who cares?
Well, I'll get to that after the break, but yeah. If for those of you that are familiar with Bitcoin, or even if you're not, I just found some fun facts on it. In 2017, the price of Bitcoin is up over 1,000%. In November, it rallied over 50%. It took Bitcoin 4 years to reach 1,000 and then got to 10,000 within a matter of months. 13 million people have opened Bitcoin accounts on Coinbase, one of the biggest depositories. And just to put that in perspective, Charles Schwab is one of the biggest investment firms out there. They have 10.2 million accounts.
Can you hold it in your hand?
Nope.
Can you buy a car with it?
Yes.
From a dealer?
Yeah. I heard about, this was a few years ago, but I heard about the first Bitcoin millionaire that bought a Ferrari with Bitcoin.
And what?
Or maybe it was a Lamborghini, something like that.
What are you buying when you buy one of these things that's up 1,000%? What are you buying, a share of stock?
No, not exactly. It's I'll get into it after the break, but it's really confusing and not a lot of people understand it. And you can put me firmly in that category, even though I've researched it more than a lot of people just over the past couple of weeks. It is a really interesting topic with some very cool technology behind it, but it is and it's basically in its infancy right now. Maybe it's a toddler. It was in its infancy 5 years ago, and now it's just sort of becoming common knowledge, but it's almost to the point where too many people are interested in it, and that is, in my opinion, why you're seeing huge run-ups in the price.
And remember, as we talk about this, that we are not recommending it.
No, we're just simply putting it out there.
It violates one of my basic fundamental principles, which is, if you cannot explain it to a 12-year-old in 5 minutes, what in the heck would it be doing in your portfolio? That's the way I look at it. So those of you who have money to burn, so to speak, or play with, and you literally don't care if you triple it, quadruple it, go up 1,000%, or lose it all, pay attention.
Yeah.
This is one way you might be able to do it. But when some asset category out there makes commodities look tame and stable, you really got something.
1,000% in a year. I mean, come on.
Take your Dramamine and buy a couple, right?
It's crazy.
You're going to get some kind of headache from it. But we'll talk about it and what it is when we get back. And I think you're going to find the discussion interesting, although probably not as interesting as it would be if we knew more about it. But maybe this will get people interested enough, and we can discuss it sometime in the air. All right, and then later today we'll talk about the tax packages as they're going through, and I've got some year-end tax planning tips. There are still things we can do with less than a month left in the year. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Things are still growing out there. In fact, on my way out of the house today, I saw that one of my miniature azaleas is blooming today. It is December the 2nd. What a lovely sight.
Yeah, it is beautiful out there today.
Sarah and I were walking through a parking lot yesterday, Publix or something like that, and just thinking, it's December, and it is absolutely perfect.
This is why we live in Florida.
Yeah, so if you're listening on the internet from someplace north of the Mason-Dixon line, I have one thing to say. Neener, neener, neener. But, hey, I digress. Anyway, trivia question still open. How many thousand-point milestones has the Dow passed this year? And we know that 7 is too high. And you know it's greater than 1, so that just happened in the last month. So now you got a range. All right. Thanks to Chuck, we got an early start talking about this phenomenon called Bitcoin. And I will tell you all right now that what I know about it would fit in a thimble with a little excess at the top. So enlighten me, oh guru of Bitcoin.
Oh no, I am not that.
No guru.
I am not that. In fact, I'm going to make a disclaimer before I even start talking about it that I will probably get something about it wrong in this segment because it is very, very complicated.
You're pre-forgiven.
Okay, thank you. And I just, if anyone out there has more experience than I and wants to call in, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you've bought some, maybe you've sold some, or are involved in the blockchain technology. That would be a great call if anyone is out there.
Oh, yeah. There is actually good news underlying this whole story.
Yeah, definitely. But as I mentioned earlier, you really can't turn on the news these days or read an internet headline or any kind of news site that doesn't mention Bitcoin in some way or one of the other cryptocurrencies. And it is just all over the news. It is a very cool technology, and it is filling a need that I don't think a lot of people ever saw coming. I know some people did, but not many. And
what is cryptocurrency?
Crypto is electronic cash, basically. It means it's not a physical currency. It's an electronic currency.
Kind of like the Federal Reserve. but I digress.
Somewhat like that, I guess. There are a bunch of other ones. Bitcoin is the most popular, the most well-known, but there are a bunch of others, including Ethereum, which is one I've been hearing more and more about, and then Litecoin, Zcash. And
Ethereum is a fantastic name.
Yeah, it is. I think, over 100 now that you can actually purchase, but they're all varying degrees of they actually measure it in market cap. So Bitcoin has the biggest market cap. There's the most value in Bitcoin that exists in the world. So it is, as I mentioned, it's like a digital cash. And so just like cash, cryptocurrencies can be exchanged with other individuals or businesses without a central authority keeping track of all the transactions. There's no banks, no governments, no large corporations that serve this role with cryptocurrencies. So it's a more of a peer-to-peer network, and it's largely untraceable. And you can think of it as paying cash digitally. You never actually have the cash in your hands.
Can you trade it for real money?
You can get real money out of it.
Oh, okay.
And you can get goods out of it, too. As I mentioned, someone bought I remember an article about a Ferrari or a Lamborghini that was purchased with Bitcoin. So you can imagine this idea is very appealing to a lot of people, but the immediate group that comes to mind is criminals, because think of the possibilities. Think about money laundering. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you want to turn dirty cash into clean cash, and you can do it in an untraceable way over the internet with no record, I mean, that is ideal for that type of business.
Another stupid question that comes to my mind: is it legal?
It is legal. I mean, there's nothing illegal about it at this point that I know of. Like I said, I'm not an expert on it, but I have not read anything that says it's illegal. There are places, I believe, in the world that have outlawed it or banned it, but
if you're
it is legal.
If you're buying a car, how do you pay sales tax on it?
That's one of the big benefits, is that because it's untraceable, no government can tax these transactions.
And then I would
unless you
speculate.
Self-report.
Yeah.
I mean, if a business sells a car and self-reports it, I assume they would have to. But
well, if you go to register the car to yourself, they're going to ask you for that sales tax receipt.
Yeah, that, I guess that is true. I'm not sure what country the car was sold in, so that may have not have been relevant there. But in the U.S., to go to register it, they will check that. And
I'm in part just showing my ignorance, but these questions come up. So.
Oh, I mean, I don't have all the answers. I've researched this quite a bit over the past 2 weeks, and I still feel a little bit lost talking about it. It's so complicated.
Well, carry on.
The other people that this benefits is the drug trade, illegal arms, tax evaders, all that kind of thing. And while it can help all these groups, it can also do so many things that are not obvious on the first pass. So one of the groups are private individuals that are just tired of having their entire digital lives tracked on the internet by big companies, by government. Think about every time you swipe your credit card, there is a record of where you were, what you bought, how much you spent. Somewhere that data is being aggregated and then probably mined and sold to other companies or people that want to know more about your spending habits so they can target you to buy other things. And I worry about that. I love using credit cards instead of cash. It just makes me feel so more secure. I'm not carrying around a bunch of cash. But I do worry about, you know, my data being sold, and I don't want it to be hacked. I mean, who here, I think everyone listening has probably been affected by a hack in the past 18 months. And this is a potential solution to get away from that. If your transactions can't be tracked, they can't sell your data, they can't mine your data. So people that are just generally concerned about the overreach of government and big corporations are really interested in this technology. So that is one of the real benefits. And one reason that Bitcoin has been all over the news this week is that it's hit several new all-time highs in terms of its value. But it also gave back about 20% in under a few hours after hitting those highs. And this all happened this week. So at noon on Friday, Bitcoin was trading about $10,612 per U.S. dollar. But earlier in the week, Bitcoin had traded in the low 9,000s, and it also hit over 11,000. So talk about some wild volatility. And
I buy a VIX on Bitcoin?
There are several things that have just received approval to actually do Bitcoin futures, I believe. They're two companies.
I was being a little facetious, but
No, it's
you know what I always say. If you can think of it, somebody already thought of it.
Right. It's such a hot topic that there are several well-known companies. One is CBOE. They are in a race with another company. They both just got approval to get out the first, I think, ETF wrapper that will trade in Bitcoin futures. I mean, it's crazy. Literally every day this week, I saw at least two or three headlines about Bitcoin. It's everywhere.
I would imagine the CFP board wouldn't be terribly nuts if they looked in our clients' accounts and started seeing that happening.
I mean, probably not, but
I know what I would think.
Yeah.
I would fire me if I were a client and did that.
This type of currency fluctuation is pretty unusual. Usually when you see a currency move in that rapid of a pace, it is because of mismanagement by a government, and it's usually hyperinflation, so the currency is devalued. Mm-hmm. And look at Venezuela or Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. These things happen, but you usually don't see a currency go from $1 up to $11,000 in a short period of time, which has happened here. So it's kind of, I don't know, that alone makes me a little bit hesitant to do anything with it. And also, a lot of people have been debating all over the business news channels about whether Bitcoin is an investment. And I could see why you would think that, because it has risen so quickly in the past. But at the same time, buying it and hoping that it increases, to me, just feels like speculation. I think it's like anything else that you may want to speculate on. I don't necessarily see what's driving that value so high. And so I would be very hesitant to recommend it to any client.
I don't agree with those commercials that you're seeing lately where the guy says, if you can't hold it in your hand, do you really own it? I don't agree with that. You own a lot of things you can't hold in
Absolutely,
your hand.
Absolutely, yeah.
I can't put a sailboat in my hand. I can do a lot of things. But the bottom line is that an investment is usually something that's backed by something, even if it's a share of stock or a paper bond or an electronic bond or an electronic share of stock. It's backed by something that, if you get right down to it, has some tangible economic
Absolutely.
Value and probably some tangible value.
So next week I want to talk about the technology behind it, which is called blockchain, and that is where I think the real investment might be.
Yeah, and I would hope that you cover a little bit about just what would happen if things got bad in that market too, and you could lose everything, because it's kind of scary. Don't go away. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Getting a little tied up here. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And
my wife wasn't listening earlier, so happy anniversary, Jessica.
It does not seem possible that was 11 years ago. But when you look at the size of the kids, I guess it seems very possible.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to reality. Well, no, let's not go to reality just yet.
Should we do some fake headlines?
Yeah. You guys know how much I love headlines. This one came in yesterday. The biggest crash ever is, parentheses, probably coming by 2020. By that master of prediction named Harry Dent, one of our top three or four.
At least we have a couple of years.
Prognosticators.
We have a couple of years to enjoy the run and then.
Probably yeah. Coming. Could be 21, I suppose.
Okay.
Harry Dent has correctly forecast 37 of the last three market crashes. Think about that for a bit. Whenever you see the names Dent, Stansberry, and who's the Jonathan? I can't remember his last name.
Dr. Doom guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Don't even read it. You look at these headlines, don't read it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you're going through, say, Yahoo, and the headline is there, and it's very intriguing, but then you see a little sponsored with an asterisk by it, don't read it.
You know what they're doing. They're selling very expensive newsletters, period. Can't say that often enough. All right, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Talking taxes, or sausage, I'm not sure which. The good In the Senate bill, now I'm going to confine it to the Senate, then we'll get into what's going to happen. 60% of Americans, according to the Tax Foundation, will actually, along with a few corporations, receive a tax cut. Congratulations, one and all, of you. Not me, you. The bad. 40% will not, and 20% of that group will get a tax increase. So Adam and I are going to change our nicknames to the 20% Club. We are going to get it badly from the looks of things.
I don't see any way around it, unless at the last minute they do away with the sub-S thing.
Now, here's the ugly, and this is long-term. This short-term and long-term ugly, actually. The Trojan horse has now gotten its nose underneath the tent. I have been saying for decades, and no one can prove me wrong yet, or has anyway, Congress has been quietly trying to eliminate all tax deductions. They want control of your gross income. They're willing to lower marginal rates to do this, as they're doing in this one for some people. Although, somehow when I go from 25 to 25, I don't see it being much lower, but I digress. So, once they get 100% of your income in their taxable bucket, what they can do is start slowly, incrementally raising that rate until we are all nothing more than servants of the government. So if you think I'm paranoid, please ignore me at your own risk, because I've been watching it since the 80s. I've been watching it. Remember the past. At 67 years old, I have been involved all of my adult life in taxes one way or the other, not preparing them, but doing things like taking advantage of them when I could and just overpaying sometimes when they sock it to me. Here are things that have disappeared on the watch of my lifetime. Interest on credit cards and car loans, gone overnight in the 80s. Depreciation on so-called passive investments such as real estate.
Oh, I hate that one.
That's the one that killed the real estate vacation home market in Florida, Arizona, and California in the 80s. Overnight. 100% deductibility of interest on two homes, your first and your second, and the second home can also be a boat, actually either home, could be a boat, an RV, or something like that, as long as you can live in it or on it. That went down to a million. Now one of the proposals has it down to 500,000. Deductibility of 100% of property taxes paid. That's now limited to $10,000. Most of you say, well, it's no big deal. I don't pay that much. But a lot of people do. You live in Florida. A lot of people live in other places.
Yeah, and there are a lot of high-cost property tax states that aren't even necessarily the high-cost states.
That's the way they derive their revenue.
Yeah.
And Florida's one of them. We don't have a state income tax. So of course it's going to be higher.
But we luckily have a ton of tourists that help us out with that.
Well, God bless every one of them.
Exactly.
Deductibility of state and local taxes. Poof.
Well, there's some debate about that on Friday.
But I'm talking about the Senate bill.
Yeah, there was some debate about that on Friday, actually.
I didn't see that it came back.
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
It just happened, so we aren't as up to date as we should be.
What, it passed? 2 or 3 in the morning?
Something like that? So exactly.
Obviously, by the time I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning, there hadn't been a lot of it written. But that's on the chopping block, it looks like. 100% tax-free Social Security benefits. When the Social Security law came into effect, we were promised it would never be taxed. Then some idiot decides that, well, 50% of it was from your employer and they got to deduct it, so you have to pay tax on it when you get it. All right, they got up to 50%. Then Bill Clinton comes along in the year 97 or something like that with his, oh no, it was even before that because it was with the tax increases. He started taxing 85% of it. I don't even know where you get a number like 85%.
And what's the logic behind it?
I have no idea.
I understand the 50, actually, you could make a case.
50% had some viable, but 85%, no. My fear, obviously, is not very long from now, they'll tax 100% of it. It's illegal to pay differing amounts of Social Security unless it's based on something. It has to be based on your income and actuarially put forward. So to get around that, they're just going to start taxing it more if you make more money. That will be pulled off as legal. How about pass-through sub-S income free from Social Security tax? That's what's killing people in these proposals, people like Adam, me, doctors, actors, lawyers,
dentists,
you name it.
You know, any
professional organization.
Any business where PA. You make money with your skills or your mind instead of selling goods.
Yep. And they're going to do that, and then they're going to start working on the upper limits on Social Security. How about medical cost deductions? That one was out at first, and overnight, Susan Collins got it put back in for 2 years. 2 years. You know what happens then? It's gone. Who does this hit? Sick people, old people who spend more of their personal income on medical stuff. It's already been changed from it had to be over 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. Now it's 10% until you hit age 65, goes back to 7.5%, and now it's going away.
And think about that. 10% of your income is a lot of money to even start getting it.
So if you get that deduction, it means we're kicking you when you're down.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I spent about a minute and a half making that list this morning, right off the top of my head. I can think of them faster than I can type them in the computer. There are others. Any government powerful enough to set these limits can set them anywhere they want to. You know, that $500,000 mortgage value where you can deduct that? How many years till that's zero? Just wait. Be afraid. Be very afraid of this little piece of junk that's coming through. Now, as I said earlier, I fear that they're going to compromise the House and the Senate bills, taking what is essentially the worst of both and creating a new law. And just to be fair, the good news is, if there's any at all, that many of you listening to my voice right now will actually net out a little tax cut.
And the value and of the your stocks will probably benefit from that.
And
as
that indirectly benefits us. So we have to be perfectly fair and above board on this thing. But it is a typical case of the camel being the racehorse designed by a committee, which I proposed would look kind of like this when we got started on this thing at the House. By the time you get 535 cooks in it, the mulligan stew is not going to taste very good, I fear. So what we do about it, I'm not sure just yet, but there's some things you can still do for taxes, and I'm kind of running out of time. So next week, I'll do a thing on things that are still able to be done by you to improve this year's taxes and how to think about what this new tax law, which we hopefully will know more about, is going to do to your income. Will you be better off this year? Will you be better off next year? Can you plan your income? Can you take some of it now? Can you pay bills now and not later? All those things can be done. You've still got, as of next week, about 2.5 or 3 weeks of business time where we can do that. Since Donald Trump was elected, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has cost 6 milestones of 1,000. And that is astounding until you figure out that percentage-wise, it's really not that unusual.
And less and less each time, too.
Yeah. So don't be too afraid. Just be very vigilant. Decide what your plan is. Make a good one. Stick to it. Get some help. Call a CFP. Call the show. Go to VanWeFinancial.com and make an appointment. We will see you all next week. This is the VanWe Financial Hour.